The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
What a good time to worship our Lord this morning. Well, today is a good day for us as a church. If you have received a text from me or you saw online, we announced this past week via text just because of all of the surrounding elements with COVID-19 and all that's going on, that as a church, we are moving forward and wanting to present to you John Nogueras as a part-time pastor position here at our church called the Family and Member Care Pastor. Just a little bit of history is that this has been in the works and prayed over for some time, all the way back into the fall. And you can see and listen to a very exhaustive explanation on our YouTube channel as well, where we lay out all those things. But just in brief, as we've prayed through these things, we are excited to present this just because as a church, in regards to where we are, wanting to be able to equip you better, as Ephesians 4 talks about, how that God gives pastors and teachers to the church for the building up and the equipping of the saints so that we can reach to the stature, the measure of Christ. John and his family, Gail is his wife, and his kids are sitting over there by Gail as well. So those of you who are watching online, and if you have not met John before, John is not new to our church. John has been here with his family since December 2014. He has served in many different capacities within our church, from being children's ministry director and VBS director, and simply also recently and presently working with our co-ed class and leading that. And John is a student at New Orleans Baptist Seminary. He has a dual degree. One of those degrees is Master of Divinity Non-Licensure Counseling, and the other one is Master of Divinity in Chaplaincy. And so he is pursuing those things. I've had the privilege to mentor John through some of those classes as well. New Orleans Baptist Seminary has a mentor track where he can take some of those classes in conjunction with a local ministry. And so we've worked together through some of those classes. And I can say to you that John loves the Lord, and he loves you. He loves the church, and he wants to partner along with us in this role of family and member care pastor and be able to help us as a church as a part of our mission to disciple all people. The fulfilled list as far as that particular role, what that looks like, the job description, that's on our website at rclacombe.org. So you can go there. You can actually look at that and its fulfillment in regards to all that is there. But let me kind of tell you a little bit of timetable in regards to where we are. So we'll put that timetable on the screen for you so you can see that as I talk about this. So today is the second portion there. John is preaching in our service today, and we made that announcement this past week. And so starting today through next Sunday, you can submit any questions that you may have regarding him, regarding the position, and you can just email me directly, bbrown@rclacombe.org. And then what's not on there, because we were trying to determine exactly when we were going to actually do the Q&A. So we're going to do that on June 2nd on Tuesday, when we normally do our midweek worship recording. So you can submit all those questions, and then we're going to record that Q&A, and then we're going to make that live for everyone to be able to see that. So feel free to shoot me any questions that you have, as we will dialogue and talk about all those questions and as it pertains to his ministry, maybe pertaining to him. John's vision for this particular role is actually laid out on our website as well. So you can actually go on the website and see the things that he's expressed also. But real thankful for John as a partner in the Lord. In many ways, John has been caring for many of you in many aspects, you know, that he's been pastoring and caring for you. And so as a family member care pastor, he's going to be helping in the assistance of the overall discipleship strategy of the church, as well as helping in our counseling ministry also. So we're really thankful for him today. So he's going to be preaching for us today just in regards to his care for the body and our roles in the body as well. So even after today, even if you have something particular that you would like to talk to John about, of course, with a 6-foot distance, as we say, you can be able to ask him those questions after service. I'm sure that he would be glad to listen and answer any questions. So as a church, we want to be able to disciple each person well and move forward and be prepared for the harvest that we believe that God is going to give us. So, John, share with us the word that God's given to you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Well, after all that, I have to share with you that in our mentoring time, one of the things that Pastor Byron has taught me was this prayer before he preaches, and he taught me this as well. It's an acronym, APTAT. And I'm not going to get into all of it right now, but the first one is to acknowledge that I am nothing without Jesus Christ. And so all of that to say, I am nothing without Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that He is going to fill me with the Holy Spirit today so that it's not my words, but God's words. And that He's going to use me as a vessel to give you that word, what you need to hear, and not what I want to say. And so with that, we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. If you want to go ahead and turn there, I'm going to just give a little brief intro first. So last Sunday, Pastor Byron talked, he finished up the portion through Haggai. And he was talking about how Zerubbabel was called to be God's servant, submitted, fully submitted to the Lord. And a signet ring or a seal of the promised hope by the power of the Holy Spirit and a chosen leader. And those things really kind of sparked my thinking. And my real passion is as I look around here and I think about those that are streaming online, I'm familiar with many of you, know you many of you very well, is to see you grow. Of course, I'm working in my own life to grow in the Word, to spend time with the Lord, to spend time in prayer, to nurture what Christ has done in me. But I want that for you too. You see, we're going to see through this passage here that every one of us here and online, part of this church, Redemption Church in Lacombe, is part of the body of Christ. And with that, you're all so important and so necessary. And you are all here for a very specific reason, by God. You're not here by chance. Those of you that may be visiting or may be attending for some time and haven't become members yet with us, you're here for a reason. God's got a purpose for you, in you, and He's gifted each and every one of you through the power of the Holy Spirit to do that work. And so I hope and I pray today that that's what I'm able to get across to you. That you're able to know that you are necessary for the overall mission of Redemption Church. Every single one of you. Whether you know Christ now or not, we hope and we pray that you come to Christ. That the Lord convicts you of your sin and you surrender to Him. And then He's going to use you. And those of you that know Christ already, maybe are new in the Lord, or maybe have known Him for a long time, and you're not serving Him, He's got a job for you in some capacity or another in His body. And so it's, okay, so we just talked about me potentially coming on and all that. It's for everybody. This is about everybody. We are all the body of Christ. We are all called to be God's servants, submitted to the Lord. We are all, like Zerubbabel, a signet ring for God, and we are all chosen leaders in our own way, in our own area. So, a little background on the Corinthian church, on the letter to the Corinthians. The Corinthian church was a church that was a mixed bag of Jews, of Gentiles or non-Jews, of cultic pagans, of all sorts of people. It was a seaport town, and it was this really narrow strip of land that separated upper and lower Greece. That instead of having to sail all the way around the lower continent through dangerous waters, they had this little strip there, and people were able to come. Sailors were able to come. It's pretty neat, actually. There's a whole video on YouTube that I watched, but it's pretty neat how they could sail in, and they could unload their goods, and they'll be carried down a road to the other side and to Greece and all throughout. And they would also, the smaller ships, they would take them, and they would hoist them onto these huge rollers on this road, and they would take the entire ship across to the other side, saving them time and keeping them safe from traveling all the way around. And so it was a very busy city. It was not only busy, but it was this hub of worship of many religions, many gods. There's a polytheistic culture where there was a temple to just about any and every god that you could think of. The sailors would come in and they would go worship the Poseidon, the god of the sea. Greek and Roman gods were mixed together. So it was very busy. This church is in the midst of this. And Paul is writing to this church. Paul, in Acts chapter 18, he founded this church. He spent a considerable amount of time at this church. And he receives this letter. If you go and look with me at chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians real quick. He receives this letter from the household of Chloe. And in verse 10 of chapter 1, he tells the church, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there has been quarreling among you, my brothers. For what I mean is that each of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? There were cliques. There were little groups of people that hung out. Have you guys ever experienced that before? You go somewhere, maybe you're at work or another church that you've been to in the past, or just wherever. And there's these little cliques that form up and you kind of feel like you're the outside one. You're not part of that clique. And this is what was going on here. And they were addressing each other like, oh, you know, well, I'm of Paul, and that's better because he founded the church. And, well, I'm of Cephas or Peter, and I'm of Apollos, or, wait, I'm going to one-up you. I'm of Jesus. I follow Jesus. So there were these cliques that formed up. So that was one of the things that Paul was addressing in this book. And then the other one, if we go to back to chapter 12, to put the passage in context, starting with verse 1, I'm not going to read it all, but there were also divisions even amongst the spiritual gifting. So some were looking at others and saying, oh, this person has that gift, or that person has that gift. I want this gift. I want that gift. And they were like envious of each other of gifts. They were just quarreling. And so Paul is going to show them how each one of them and their gifting is necessary for the overall good of the body. Just like I hope to show you today that each one of you online, here in person, are extremely important and valuable to the body of Christ. When you come to Christ, he gives you gifts. And he'll even use your talents that you already had. And he'll use them for the greater good of the gospel, of growing others, of meeting other people's needs, of caring for one another. This is about all of us. We are the body of Christ. So as we go ahead, let's go ahead and read the passage. Go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting with verse 12, we'll read to 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there be no division in the body, but that the members have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We are the body. We are the body. And the body is one with Christ. In verses 12 to 13, we see that. For just as the body is one, it has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. We are you, me, those of you online. I hope and pray that you come in and we're able to start meeting again soon so we can rejoice and sing and worship together as the body. We are the body of Christ, and we are one. When we look at this, he talks about how we're baptized. We're one in the Spirit. We're all baptized in one body. It's Jew or Greek, it's all one. There's no racial divide. There's no social lines or political lines or financial status or barriers. We're all one. When I think back to first century Christianity, I think back to when these churches began to meet. There was all sorts of social elitism. There were different socioeconomic standards where some people just were wealthy and powerful, or politicians would have nothing to do with slaves, or have nothing to do with those who were poor. And in the church, they became one. In the church, Jew and Greek, Jew and Gentile became one in Christ. In Christ. In our small group, we're going through Ephesians, and it talks all about that throughout. Unity, one in Christ. There is no separation. There is no, you know, snubbing the nose at somebody, because in Christ, the playing field is leveled. In Christ, none of us deserves what he did for us, what he gave for us. In Christ, he has made us lifted up and seated at the right hand of the Father with him, with all sorts of blessings. Praise God. It just gets me so excited, because I don't deserve it. None of us do. There is nothing that any one of us have done to deserve what Christ did for us. Nothing. Christ, the whole body works together, verses 14 to 17. I want you to see, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, okay, he's going to give this metaphor here, and I'm just going to kind of summarize it. I've got way too many notes here, and I just want to be me, guys. So let's just go through this. He uses this metaphor of the body, and he talks about the foot and the hand and the head, and he's talking about these different body parts, rhetorically asking, what if they were to say, I have no need of you, or I'm not a part of the body because I'm not this or I'm not that? They all work together. His point is here is they all work together. You know, I was thinking about, even as you sit here or sit at home or stand out in the lobby, or your body, every part of it is working together to do what it's doing right now. You're thinking, oh, I'm just sitting there, right? Nah, even though you're kind of relaxed, your back muscles are working. Your shoulders are working. Your abs are working. Your legs, your toes are working to support you. Your arms, if you're holding your Bible or your phone or a pen or a notebook, is working towards the common good of you sitting here and listening, right? Your brain is functioning to process, to think. Your glands are releasing hormones to keep you awake, to help you remember things, to help you focus, or to think about whatever it is you're thinking about. Everything is working in unison. You're not even thinking about what your body's doing, but it's all working together for you to sit here. It all works together. So, I want to ask you this. before we go any further, I want you to think about this. Reflect on this. Are you part of the body? Okay, well, what do you mean? I go to church. I believe in God. Hey, I believe in Jesus. What do you mean? Am I a part of the body? You see, we're only a part of the body if we are in Christ. We are only part of the body if we are His, if we have surrendered to Him, if we have given Him our life, if we have put our faith and our trust in Him. You could be a good church goer. You could be a really good person. My wife's dad was a really good person. Praise God, he came to Christ, but much later in life. He thought he was good. He's like, hey, I'm a good person. I treat people well. I don't do anything wrong. I believe in God. But he was not a true believer. And what do I mean by that? You see, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us is a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. God can't let one sin into heaven. Not one. So, okay, we have a problem. But Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. We're all going to die. Spiritually, physically, we're dead. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus died on the cross for you. He gave His life for each and every one of you. And He wants you to trust Him with that. He wants you to surrender to Him. What do you have to do to surrender? Do you have to do something? Do you have to, like, do certain works to surrender? No, you simply just stop doing what you're doing and let go and say, I'm yours. I can't do this. I need you. And so my hope, my prayer, my desire is to see people come in, people out there. You guys go forward. Tell people the good news about Jesus. And people come to Christ, surrender to Him, and become part of the body. If you are already a part of the body, there's a lot for you to do. The Lord's got a plan for you. And I skipped a whole section. Christ is the head of this body. You can look up those references later. Actually, let's go to the Colossians one. Colossians chapter 1. So I want you to see, it's not you that's the head. It's not me. It's not even Pastor Byron. It's not the head of the body, the church. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Colossians, it goes Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and I'll get there. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. So that means you all were created by Him. Our governing authorities were created by Him. All things were created by Him, through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. In other words, not first place in our lives, only place in our lives. Everything. He is the head of the church, the body of Christ, Jesus. And He doesn't want there to be a second place to Him, because He wants to be your all. He wants us to surrender to Him and live for Him, serve Him. I want to encourage you all today that God's got a great plan for your life to serve Him in a way that is beyond what you believe capable. You are here because God placed you here. You are here because God placed you here, and He has a purpose for you. You know, through this whole time, as Pastor Byron and I have been talking, and I've been sharing my desire with Him, it's to help people to know that they are important and they are here. You're all here for a reason. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. There it is. God placed you here as he chose every member of the body. We can't say we have no need of our members. Every one of you is here for a reason. And when he says member, he's not talking about, okay, I went through the membership class, I became a member. Yes, we want you to do that. That is important to serve here at Redemption Church. But member meaning you are in Christ. He's got a plan for you. And we want to see you plug in here at Redemption Church. We want to see you. As I look around again, I see people have served mightily for the kingdom. Here. Abroad. And I see more to come. I'm excited. I don't know about you guys, but I am excited because before COVID-19 stuff happened, we were growing. Since COVID-19, between meeting here and the various ways online, YouTube, Facebook, the online stream, we've seen still more growth. It hasn't been like, oh, okay, nobody's showing up. We see the numbers. We see the people checking in. We see the prayer requests. The Lord is doing a mighty work here at Redemption Church. In Lacombe, on the North Shore, and throughout the world. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? I'm excited. I can't wait to see what he's going to do. Because you are here because God placed you here and you are uniquely gifted by God for what he has for you to do. As I said before, again, you are important and necessary in God's plan. Not one of you is here just because. As a believer in Christ, we are not saved to sit and do nothing. And this isn't like about, okay, look, John's going to beat us up so that we feel like we have to do something. No. You know if God's been calling you to do something. You know if he's been stirring in your heart. You know if you're his and he's been putting something on you. He wants you to use it. Because he's given it to you. Again, Pastor Byron talked last week and reminded us of how when he was 10 years old, he came to Christ. And by 15, he knew that he wanted to be a pastor. He wanted to preach the word of God. And God put that on him. And look, here he is today doing that. The Lord used him. I came to Christ at 12. There were a few years in between there that I lived for myself, but I came to Christ at 12, and he convicted me daily, even when I was running off in sin, and I would confess my sin, and 1 John 1:9 says he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But by about the age of 19, I think I must have just started getting my brain, and the Holy Spirit started really working in me, and I met my wife, and even in that, she was not a believer. And she came to Christ through even my rocky testimony at that time. The Lord used me even in that to lead her to Christ, which is like, okay, that is totally not me. I did not do that. That is totally Jesus. And so the Lord's used me throughout the years in various ministries, and it's always just been this burden on my heart to just serve him, to help others, to love others. And I know he wants that for you. He wants you, all of us, to not compare ourselves to one another. To not look and say, well, that person does this, so I can't do that. I'm not gifted in this, or I'm not gifted in that, or for anyone to say that person shouldn't, or that. Paul talks here in 1 Corinthians, verse 19, he talks about how if the body were a single member, it wouldn't even be a body. If one person did all the work, if Pastor Byron did all the work, it wouldn't be a body. It would be Pastor Byron, right? If one person led everything, it wouldn't work. If I were only a hand, I would not be a body. That's what he's saying here. And he's saying that the weaker are indispensable, and we give greater honor to the unrepresentable parts, and they're treated with greater modesty. He's given greater honor to the part that lacked it. Now, he's going into a whole body, again, metaphor, and talking about different body parts there, but I want you to know that he wants you to not think that you're less important than the person next to you. Or think the person across or somewhere else is more gifted than you are, because he's gifted you to do exactly what he has for you to do. Again, every one of you is needed. I want to look at, because this is really how I've kind of modeled the ministries I've been working in, and really how I've modeled my life lately, our church's mission statement and the three D's. So that's the graphic that we have on the website there. And we talk about how we at Redemption Church exist to glorify God. So that's in the center. That is not just the church's mission, but that needs to be each and every one of our own individual missions. To glorify God in everything we do, say, think. Man, if we each went around and said, is this thing I'm doing right now glorifying God? That would be a really good self-check, because oftentimes it's not. It's glorifying self. So we exist to glorify God, delighting in him, so that we can then declare Jesus. We can declare the life-changing message of Jesus, and then we disciple others. And you notice how it goes one arrow to declare, delight, declare, disciple, and then three arrows shoot off of that. A few weeks ago, a month ago or so, I did the Wednesday night thing, and I talked about this a little bit. We're all to be disciple makers. As the body of Christ, every one of us is a disciple who's called to make disciples. That is what we are to do. We're not called to sit still and not use our gifts. We're not gifted to do nothing with it. We're called to delight in God, declare Jesus, make disciples so that they too can delight in God, declare Jesus, and make disciples. And it keeps going around and around and around, growing exponentially. More people coming to Jesus, more people coming to Christ, more people serving him. We're all needed, every single one of us. Take a look with me at Ephesians 4, chapter 11, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he, God, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, but rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. God gave each person as needed. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the saints for the work. That's to equip each and every person in the body for the work. To grow them to mature manhood, so that they no longer be children, no longer be babies just desiring the milk of the word, but eating, chewing on the meat, spending time in the word of God and chewing on the meat and learning and growing and becoming more like Christ. so that we don't fall for man's deceitful schemes. The enemy, Satan, he's a liar. He's a father of lies. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we believe him often. We want you to grow to a mature manhood so that you are no longer children, so that you are no longer believing the lies of the enemy, so that you are equipped. We want to equip you in the Word of God so you know to follow him and to serve him. At Redemption Church, we need each one of you to be the body. Each one of you has a purpose. Each one of you has a reason to be here. Whether it's to pastor the flock, to teach a Sunday school class, or to sweep the floors, or to clean the windows. Each one of you is needed here. We have so many ministries going on for you to plug into. So many ways for you to grow. The small groups are amazing. Small groups are where you have the opportunity to learn and to study and to learn how to study, to talk about the Word of God and to ask questions. In our small group, we get all sorts of questions, and they're great because they challenge me and Tim as we teach. They challenge us, and teachers, don't be afraid to say, I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. Just because we're teaching a class doesn't mean we know it all. We're still growing to mature manhood too. We're still growing in our walk too, every one of us. And so join the small groups. We have an amazing youth group right now. Lots of good youth in there that love the Lord and love each other. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Starting with verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. If you're teaching, if you're leading, if you're doing something, don't think too much of yourself. Because what you have, you've been given by God. And those of you who don't think much of yourself, what you have is given to you by God, so use it. Don't be ashamed. For as in the body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. You see that? You may not think that you are able or have the gifting or have the calling to serve the Lord, but you do, because we don't all have the same function. Every one of us has a different function that God has assigned to us, has given us. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of it, one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches and is teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation to the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Do you see those examples Paul gave? They weren't all teaching and preaching. They were acts of mercy. They were exhortation, contributions, being generous. The Lord has blessed you. If you are his, he has blessed you with gifts that he wants you to use. We at Redemption Church want to see you use them. We so want to see you use them because we are so excited for what the Lord is doing here that we can't wait to just see it explode. Like, just lots of people just come into Christ. We don't care about numbers, but we care about numbers as far as those hearing about Jesus. We don't want to just fill seats. We want people to come and hear the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want you to go and tell them the life-saving gospel of Jesus and bring them so that they too can serve him. That's what we desire for you. Are you ready to do what God's got for you? Are you ready to just, I know he's got something for you. I'm excited to see what that is. Through our membership class, one of the things we do is a spiritual survey, a spiritual gift survey. And you answer like, how many questions is it? I don't remember, like 100 questions. But they're really fast, so don't be scared. Come anyway. And when you fill them out, you have a chart that you get to fill out based on the answers. And it tells you, it tries to help you figure out what the Lord has gifted you in. And what he's given you a vision for, what he wants you to serve in. And so, please, if you've not come to the membership class, even if you aren't necessarily looking to become a member just yet or at all, come. It's a great class. You're going to learn about the church. You're going to learn about what we believe. You're going to learn about you and your giftings. And then we hope that you do become a member so you can be used here at the body here at Redemption Church. The thing is if you don't do what the Lord has for you, if you don't use your gifting, he's going to find somebody else to do it. And then you miss out on that blessing. There is a blessing to serve the Lord. If he's got something for you, which I know he does, for each and every one of you, and you don't do it, you're going to miss out on it. He'll get his will done. But it may not include you at that moment. So as important members of the body, it's important that we're not loners, that we know that we're necessary, that we belong here in the body, and we're also here to care for one another. I want to look at this because this is something that's really been on my heart, is caring for others. Look, let's face it. Life is rough. Life is hard sometimes, where this world is full of sin. There's death. There's drug abuse, alcoholism. There's all sorts of trouble in our lives. Wayward kids. Adulterous relationships. There's all sorts of trouble in this life. But as the body of Christ, you're not alone. You're not alone. We just had a funeral here this last week, and it was a beautiful, beautiful funeral to see the body of Christ come together and remember our brother and to be there for the family. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 again, verses 25 and 26. These things are so, we're one body, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That word for care there is not just, I care about you, I'm thinking about you. But it's more of like an anxious concern, an active caring. Like, I care about you. I care about you, and I want the best for you. So I'm here for you, whatever you need. Talk to me. That's the kind of care this is. It carries that weight. It's not passive. It's proactive. Our small groups are also dubbed care groups. And so our small groups ought to be caring for each person, reaching out to each person, texting each person, praying for one another. If you're not plugged in, you're missing out on a whole element of care that we've got available for you. We check in on one another. If there's a need, make it known so that we can meet it. And when we ask, how can I help you? What's going on? Open up about it so you can be helped. We care for one another because when one member of the body suffers, We all suffer. We all suffer together. You know, anybody ever have a toothache? Yeah. They hurt, don't they? It just amazes me. It completely amazes me how one little tooth can wreak such havoc in my body. One little tooth. I remember years ago, I was in my mid-20s. I was driving for UPS, and I had this wailing toothache. I could not think. I could not talk. At times, I laid down in misery in the back of the truck. It was bad. It incapacitated me. Terrible pain. I ended up going to the ER. There was an ER in town that actually had, they could give you Novocaine at the time, so I could get to a dentist and get this tooth removed. It was horrible. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are all members of this body. And if one of you is suffering, we're all suffering. And we may not know it, but the Holy Spirit knows it. And the Holy Spirit impresses that upon His church. And we all feel it. There are people suffering in here. We're here for you. There are people that are here for you, not just in leadership, but throughout. If one part of the body suffers, it all suffers. We pray for one another. We pray with one another for, I don't know how we're going to do this going forward in the future, but we've had some people that have come down with cancer, and before they started treatment, we had them come up into the middle, and the whole church would gather around them and just hands on them and pray. I don't know if we're going to be allowed to do that anymore. We're going to have to figure that out. That's troubling to me, but God's good. God's good. He's got this. We are there for one another. We pray for one another. We suffer with one another. We have, Pastor Byron's always given out his email, bbrown@rclacombe.org. You could email him, prayer@rclacombe.org. You could email that and get prayer. Staff prays every week, throughout the week, for you. The list comes out, and you are prayed for. You are cared for. We have different compassion ministries here at the church. We have food ministry. We have ways by which we could help you if you need help. We're here for you. We care for one another as the body. If anybody says, I don't have to go to church, I can believe it, I'm good. Nonsense. You miss out on all this. You miss out on being a part of the body, on that care element. We also have the counsel ministry, as Pastor Byron mentioned earlier. That's one of my things I like to do, is be there for people. Sit with them, counsel them. Listen to what they have to say. Sit alongside, cry with them, weep with them, mourn with them. And each one of us as a body, we're all called to that. If one part of the body is suffering, we're all suffering. And on the same token, if one part is honored, we all rejoice. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. I'll tell you, we've rejoiced with people over weddings, over reunited marriages, over promotions at jobs, graduations. I know a few of us, I'm thinking of you, Brandon, and myself included, are looking forward to graduation. Oh, it's coming so close. We rejoice when one member is honored, we rejoice together. So we're here for one another. As the body of Christ, we are meant to be here together for each other. We need one another. Look into Jesus. He is that head. So verse 27, Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. That's like a charge. That's like a charge to you. You, in Christ, are members of the body. You are each a member of it. And he then goes on and Paul talks about the different gifts that the Lord gave. And I love how he gets into this whole thing, and this is a little outside of where I was, but he gets into this whole thing about spiritual giftings, and he's kind of correcting them on that. And then he says, and I will show you still a more excellent way. And then he goes into the chapter on love. You see, the greatest gift that Christ gave us is love. We couldn't even love correctly without him. Because Christ loves you, you're able to love others. He's given you that. If you say, no, I don't have any giftings, he's given you that. He's given you more than that. So, I just want you guys to know, I want you all to know, just so desperately, that you are the body of Christ. That you all have a purpose within the body. You streaming online, I can't wait to see you again, because God's got a plan for you in this body. Each and every one of us has a place in the body. Each one of us has giftings. Each one of us is important, necessary, given and placed by God here. Called to serve in whatever capacity he has. He's got it for you. And we're called to care for one another. So, my challenge to you today is to be the member that God's got for you to be. To be that member of the body that God's got you to be. You are here for a reason. He wants you to be to fulfill that reason. He wants you to live it out. If you haven't put your faith in Christ, it's not too late. As long as you're breathing, you can still put your faith in Christ. But once that stops, once you're gone, it's too late. There are no second chances once you're gone. There is no way to get there after death. Now's the time for salvation, today. If you have not put your faith and trust in Christ, do it today. And if you have, let him use you the way he wants to use you. Be willing to submit to his lead. Don't just submit to him for salvation and a ticket to heaven. Submit to him to live for him, to serve him. He's already gifted you with everything you need to do it. I was thinking about in the Exodus when they were building the tabernacle. And if you've ever read that, and I hope you have, if you haven't, go and read it. It's really long, and it talks about all these different different things and ways God wants the tabernacle to be built, so many cubits. It's very detailed. And I'm thinking the first time I read through that, how in the world are they going to do that? Like how are they going to even remember to do everything according to the plans and specs that God gave? But then it says that God gave them the gifts. God gave them the knowledge. God gave them exactly what they needed to be able to do the work. He tells us how he wants us to serve him, how to live for him, and then he gives us the ability to do it. So he's gifted you for service. I want you to know that you are loved and you are here for a reason. And I'm thankful. We're thankful that you're here. We're excited to see what the Lord's going to do. So in a moment, the worship team will come back up and we'll go to a time of prayer. I want you to take some time at home in your seats here. We won't be coming forward to reflect and to think about if you're in Christ, if you are in the body, if you've truly surrendered to him, or if you've just been doing good works, or just been saying you believe in Jesus, but really, you're Lord of your own life. You could surrender to Him right in your seats today, right where you are at home or here. And then we want to know about it. Let us know. Shoot an email to the church. And if you have given your life to Christ, I want you to reflect about perhaps what, Lord, do you have for me to do? What's my part of the body? How can I be obedient to your calling in my life? How can I plug in? How can I become part of a body that cares for one another and not just live my life, care about myself, but in Christ, because of His love and His care for us, love and care for others? And if you've been a believer for quite a long time and you don't know where to plug in, reflect on that and think about and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? Not a single one of you is too old. Not a single one of you is too young. God's got a plan for you in His kingdom, in His body. And so I'll lead us in prayer as the worship team comes up. And then you all could continue praying where you are. Thank you, Lord God, Father, for all that you do and all that you are. We thank you, Lord, for your word given to us. Lord, that we could know you and your power. Lord, I pray, as Paul wrote, that there would be no divisions. Lord, that there would be no envy of others or looking down on others. But Lord God, that each person here that knows you would surrender to your will in their life. That you would grow them in what you have for them. Lord God, I pray that you would, Father, just bless them and let them know that they have a purpose in your kingdom, in your body. I pray, Lord God, for those here and those online that don't know you or think they do and have not surrendered to you. I pray, Lord God, that they would stop playing around and that they would trust you with their life. Lord God, do your work. Do your mighty work in each person here. Lord, lead them. Care for them. Let them know they're loved and they're necessary, Lord, for the kingdom. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word, for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for all that he has done. Lord God, we praise you, we lift you up, and I lift up each person here that they would know you and that they would trust you with their everything. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, as they sit in their seats and come to you. Lord, I pray that many would surrender to you and would surrender to your work and your service. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're just going to take some time to reflect and to pray. Challenge has been given to us. So in this room and online, you've heard God's word. You've heard the challenge given from John. Think through in the ways that God has called us to serve and to plug in. So let's take that time just to reflect right there in our seats, there at your home. And after a period of time, then Andrew will lead us in this song of worship.